appreciate you both. Pretty cool. You know, Bob said, as I was percolating on what Bob was saying, making fun of the old guy here, I was thinking about, what was I thinking? Oh, yeah, see, there's the old guy. It's just gone. It takes 3 minutes for me to get that cup open, Bob, you know, not in a, anyway. Before I send the kids back to group their groups today, I want to make a real quick commercial. It's not on our news today, but I want to make a commercial. Whitney and Brad are in Niagara Falls. If you have Facebook or Instagram, you can see that that's where they are. They're vacationing. And so we're glad for that. And Whitney is our youth pastor here, and she has been for almost 11 years. And we're very glad to have her. And I want to kind of put a very large kind of a burden on you a little bit that she's been shouldering. She's getting ready to take our kids area and kind of transform it, and that's the our leadership has kind of agreed that that's a really important thing. Pre-COVID, every Sunday morning we would have 50, 60 kids that rush back there. You're going to see here in a minute, there's about 15, 20 that go back right now. For whatever reason, our kids' ministry is not to where it was before COVID. Some people have gone out of the churches. Some people just aren't coming back. So Sunday morning, Sunday night is very important around here. It's a big part of what we do with our church. Kids are important. Teenagers are important. We love kids. We love teenagers. They are always going to be a big deal as long as I'm around here, that we're going to reach those kids, and we're going to try to teach them and do what we can. In saying that, Whitney needs some help. I said pre-COVID, probably on Sunday morning, she had 8 or 9 teachers. On Sunday night, she'd have about 12. We were down to about 4 on Sunday morning, and she's doing it with about 2 on Sunday night. And so I really want to encourage and put a kind of a burden back on some of you to say, as our kids come back and as they're back doing the different things that they do, please, 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 would you mob Whitney the next 2 weeks and just say, Whitney, I don't know what I can do, but I'll be a part of that. I'll try to help on Sunday morning. I'll try to help on Sunday night. It is important. It is important. You don't have to get down on the ground. You don't have to do any of that kind of stuff. If somebody say, well, I can't really walk. Just go sit in a room and be a grandma. Be a mom. Just do something that will help Whitney as we go forward. We've got some good teachers right now, but we need some more. We need some more. So there's my commercial. I'll shut up. Kids, go ahead and go back to your class. Okie dokie. Let's pray one more time and just kind of get set, and then we'll get right into it. Jesus, we love you, and we're thankful that we can worship. We're thankful that we can gather around the table that is so important, the table that you instituted, that Lord's Supper, that we can give our tithes and our offerings, and just now that we can open up the Word for just a few minutes out of 168 hours and see what you got for us this morning. God, do a work. Take my little and make it a lot. God, I'm so not worthy. I got much, not much to say, but I know through your Holy Spirit you're going to do something. So we pray for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're in a series, and some of you are going to clap, but today is the last day of that because we've been in it all summer, called God and You. God and You. And we wrestled with the fact that how do you take a God who you can't see and you can't feel and you can't touch? What do you do with a God like that? And so we talked about who he was. And we spent a lot of the part of the summer talking about the attributes of God and how he works in our lives and why he did what he did. And then we've spent the last 6 weeks talking about you. And we've used the acronym SHAPE, S-H-A-P-E. And we've talked laboriously on this into a point that some of you might be getting tired of hearing about it, but I think some of you remember that God created you with a shape. And the shape is, we call that the way that he bent you, the way that he put you together before you were even born. And so he gave you spiritual gifts. That's the S part of the shape. And each one of us have an ability to do something. Those of us in Christ, the Bible says we have the ability to do something for others, whether it's pray, whether it's administer, whether it's teach. We have that spiritual gift. And then we have the heart, and the heart is the passion part of us. It's the drive that he put in us. Some of you have a real passion for art. Some of you have a passion for cars. I mean, he put that in you. It's okay as long as you don't abuse it. It's okay to have a passion, to have a heart to do those things. Then he gave us abilities, and abilities are the base model of us. It's who we are when we came off the line. And it's you, and God gave you. That's why some of you are really enjoy wrenching with your hands and working with your hands, and some of you couldn't. You don't know what to do with your hands. You use your mind to work, and you're driven by that. And then last week we talked about personality, and we said that that's the P part of this, and that your personality is so important, because we surmised by looking at the Bible that we're all unique, and the word I used for that is we're all weird. And one of the teenagers that was here last week, we had a ton of teenagers, and one of them walked out the door and said, "I really enjoyed that because I never thought about it, but I am really weird." And I said, you're right. We're all weird. Every one of us are weird. And so our personality makes us very, very unique. And today, we're going to close out this with your experiences. And I think this is a kind of rubber meeting the road kind of a part of it. And so please bear with me as we get into this, because I think it's really important that you understand what you do with your experiences. Job 10:8 says this: you were formed for a purpose. You were made. God shaped you for a very distinct thing. And today I want to get this shape, and I want to try to wrap it all together. For instance, if when we're talking about experience, and that's what we're going to talk about today, this is so important. If I say to you, parenting is easy, most of you would say, no, no, it is not easy. If I would, now some of you would say, you know, we had a good time, we made the most of it. If I say to you, some of you, that high school was incredible, some of you say, yeah, it rocked, I loved it, I want to go back. Some of you go, like, heck to the no. I don't want to ever see another high school. I don't care about high school. You know, it wasn't my jam. It was not where I ended up living. So you have to understand that experience is all to do with the person who experiences it. If you remember the story of Joseph in the Bible, he was a man who everything went wrong for him at the first part of his life. The first part of his life, he was betrayed by his brothers, the people who loved him most. He was sold into slavery. He was taken to a foreign country. He was sold to a master and had to be subservient for years and years and years. And yet, if you look at the end of the story chapter 50, verse 20, Joseph said this about his life, talking to his brothers: "You intended it to harm me, but God intended it for good." See, a lot of your experiences, people really meant to hurt you. It's true. People who bullied you, people who abused you, they meant to hurt you. Some of them did it by accident. I understand that, but you know it. What you did was intended to harm you. But you know what? If we can be like Joseph at the end of our lives and say, I see all these experiences, I see all of them that are out there, and I can go, but God had another plan. God had a plan for my experience that makes it all worthwhile. God has that plan for your life. And so what is his purposes for our experience? There's all these experiences that we have that shape us. All these things that we go through on a day-to-day basis. For instance, your family really shapes how you are, shapes what you think about a kid. If you're a kid in a family that it has trouble getting along and you grow up and you think about having a family, it's like, no, I don't want to have a big family. I don't even know if I want to have a family. So your family shapes you. Your relational experiences shape you. Your vocation, your job, it shapes you. You tend to have a worldview about your experiences, about the people and the jobs that you've had. And some of the jobs you've had have really been great, but some of the jobs you've had have been from the pit of hell. And you're going, whoa, I never. And it shapes what you think about those things. That painful experiences shape us. Every one of us have painful experiences. And so that's what I want to talk to you about today in this God in You series. Don't waste your pain and don't waste your victories. Because a lot of us are. We're wasting the experiences that God has allowed to come into our life. The Bible says very clearly that these experiences that come into your life are not there by chance. God allows them to come into your life to do something in you. And so there's three things that I want to share with you right off the start here. The first is this: your experiences teach you to rely on God. Your experiences, the good and the bad, teach you to rely on God. 2 Corinthians 1:9. This happened so that we might learn to trust not in ourselves, but in our God. But in our God. What happened in your pain? What happened in your victories? God allows experiences to come into our life to teach us that He is trustworthy, that He will be with us as we walk through those horrible times. How many of you know that well? That you've had these incredibly life-altering experiences in your life, and they've shaped you, some not so good, and they've hurt you, but you're still standing, and you're still believing, and you're still doing what God has called you to do. Experiences teach us to rely on God. Experiences also help us to build your character. And none of us liked that growing up. None of us wanted to have our parents say to us, well, that builds your character. Shut up, Mom. Shut up, Dad. I don't want to hear that. I don't care about your character. But Mom always said, yeah, that's going to build your character. In the long run, it did. But you don't grow character by reading about it. You don't get character by looking in a book or looking on a movie. You get character by experience, and it comes through pain. It comes through expression. It comes when we find ourselves doing things that we're like, oh my goodness, I can't believe this is happening to me. Romans 5:4 puts it this way. We know that suffering produces perseverance. Isn't that true? Perseverance, it produces character, and character produces hope. Woo, doggies, that's true. That's true. We know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character gives us hope. Who here today doesn't need to hear that? Integrity is learned when you do the right thing, when it's easier to do the wrong thing. Integrity is just that. It's so easy to do the wrong thing. It is so easy not to take care of yourself. It is so easy to say this bag of chips is going to be better than me, inside of me, than being on the shelf. It is so easy, but that's the wrong way. That's the wrong way to view it. Integrity is learned when you do the right thing, when it's easier to do the wrong thing. Endurance is learned when you keep going on, and you keep going on, and you keep going on, and you don't give up, and you do not surrender. Responsibility is learned when you keep the commitments that you say, and it comes sometimes at a personal cost. I remember growing up, many times I had to choose. I had to choose. My mom and dad would make me choose the difference between going to do sports or going to do something else. And it was a lot easier to say, I'll get that all done, but and then I didn't do it, and then I didn't go. And I learned about responsibility. I learned that sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. Proverbs 20, verse 30 says this: sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. Anybody experienced that? Anybody over here? This side's kind of quiet. Just Bob. All right. Yes. Amen. Experiences. Oh, man. They make us change our ways. And sometimes they don't. And then we wake up one morning and what happened? We're trapped. I'm married to this person, and I can't believe I'm married to this person. I wake up and I'm 70 pounds overweight. What do I do? I wake up, and it's that realization, and we change or we don't. Also, lastly, then, experiences cause us to accomplish God's purpose. Experiences cause us to do what God intended you to do, what he made you to do. There's a purpose behind it. For instance, Paul was taken to prison. He went to Rome. He was taken prison falsely. He shouldn't even been in prison, but he was put in prison. And he's cuffed to this guard, and he had a shipwreck on the way to Rome. He's sitting in the dark in jail, and here he is in this horrible place 24 hours a day. And one of Caesar's own guards were chained to Paul for that 24 hours a day. It says it in the Bible, and we see, yet despite all that, Paul says this in Philippians. This is when Paul said this, chained to that guy, you know, sitting in his filth. He says this, whatever has happened to me, Philippians 1:12, whatever has happened to me has served to advance the gospel. Wow. I want to be that. I want to be like Paul. He says, it's tough on me right now, but I understand the purpose behind it. I understand. And the history tells us that eventually some of Caesar's household came to know who Jesus was because of that experience. Paul being chained to a jailer in that deep, dark, dank place. Some experiences on earth will never be explained until heaven. And that's what I want you to think about as we start to move into this. Some of the experiences that you've had will never be explained on this earth. There is no answer to the question, why? Why did that happen? You go, that's so unfair, what he did to me. That was so unfair, what my boss did. That was so unfair, that friend. Some of the things that you've gone through will never be revealed, the purposes, until heaven. That's a truth. So how do we use God's pain and his victories for his glory? How do we do that? Because, Jeff, I want to do that. I hope that's what some of you are thinking. I want to use these experiences that I've gone through. I want to learn from them. I want to make a difference in somebody else's life. I don't want to just waste that pain. Here's another truth. If you're writing anything down, you might write this truth down. Experiences can make you bitter, or they can make you better. They can make you bitter, or they can make you better. How are you today? Are you more bitter about these things that are going on, or are you getting better? If you're getting better, there's some Jesus maturity happening in you. Using the pain and a victory for Jesus begins there. You and I have a couple actions we can take, and let me share these actions with you, and then I'll be done. It's a short sermon, I believe, today, unless I get fired up here in the last few minutes. So let's see what happens. I might get fired up. Number one, four actions. Number one is this. Examine your experiences. Take a look at your experiences. Take some time. Just get off of whatever device you use and just take some time and say, the experiences that I'm going through, what is it that is a consistent in all those? How did I react during those things? Examine your experiences. Look for a pattern. Do not waste the pain. So many of us, we know that we're not supposed to touch the stove, but we forget and we touch the stove a lot and we get burnt. And then we do it again and we forget and we get burnt. Psychology calls that insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Some of you are acting like you're insane. Review your experiences, because those who fail to review history will repeat it. I think that's true for our country. I think you can't bury history. I don't think you can stop history, because when you do that, it causes the generation to forget about there was people who did certain things to get where they needed to be. I think it's so important that we not bury our history. Personal, our country, our churches, every one of us, every church, every institution, every business has ups and lows. We are no different. We are no different. Unexamined experience is waste. It is waste, and it will not benefit your future if you do not examine your experiences and say, what is God trying to teach me through these experiences? Do something. Here's another action you can take. Do something with what, when you examine it, do something with what you learned. Actually act on it. My first marriage, I did this, and I'm not going to do it in my second marriage or my fifth marriage. I'm not going to do that anymore. And so you examine it, and then you actually do something about it. I do something with what I've learned. When you're going through situations, you don't ask why. You never ask why. You always ask what? What? Every funeral sermon I've ever preached, and I've preached a lot, I always say that in my sermon somewhere. Don't ask why. You'll go crazy. You'll go crazy. Ask them why they're gone. It's not fair. Doesn't make sense. But the question Christians have to ask is, what? What do I do now because dad's gone? What do I do now because grandma's not here? What do I do because my partner's not in the mix anymore? What do you want me to do, God, now? Because you will go down the crazy tube. Ask him why. Just write down it. Write down the drain. Why is this happening to me, God? What do you want to do? Do this, God. It's horrible. It's not fair. All those things that you're saying, truth, truth. Pain and victories are educators. They're some of the best educators that a Christian has available to them. The stuff that has happened to you is some of the best things that could possibly happen. How could you say that? I almost died. Because God wanted to do something incredible. Did you catch it? I call it Hard Knock University. All of us go through Hard Knock University. I'm one of the star pupils at Hard Knock University. I've learned so many things of not to do because I do them. And I do get touched. And I touch it and I go, oh, that hurt. There it is again. Oh, yeah. And I touch it and I go, oh, I hurt again. Why'd I do that? Because I didn't examine and I didn't do anything with what I learned. Here's two rules of the Hard Knock University that I want to share with you. And these are rules that I've used all my life. If you flunk the test the first time, you're going to keep taking the test until you pass it. Think about that. You're going to keep doing it over. Why does God? Because he wants you to learn something from it. But why? Because he wants you to learn something. But why? Because he wants you to learn something from it. And secondly, just about the time you think you got it figured out, God makes up a new course. He makes up a new course and says, now, my child, you're doing okay there. Move on to here. Why? No. What? See the difference? Makes a difference. All the difference in the world. Jesus' maturity is finding lessons in your pain and in your victories. God wants you to remember your experiences of life so they don't make the same mistake over and over again. The Israelites were a perfect, perfect case of that. And we laugh at the stupid Israelites because they were stupid. And you read it and you go, you're stupid. You just saw God take you through the Red Sea. And on the Red Sea, we're hungry. And so what's God do? 40 years, round in circles. And some of you are doing the same thing. 40 years, you've been doing the same thing, expecting something different to happen. This is going to be the time. Here it is. Nope. You can't forget the goodness of God. You got to celebrate it. That's why you celebrate. That's why we worship. You come here. Bob said the coolest thing this morning, and it was, remember, help me with the name, Bob. I'm having a senior moment. Said what? Say it out loud. Yeah. Yeah. Don't ask me how I feel. Because if you go on your feelings, most days you don't feel very good. I got up at 5 or 6 o'clock this morning, and my stomach was rumbling. I'm going, I'm calling Bob, and I'm calling off. And I sat there and I prayed and I watched some stuff that I wanted to see that would, and God says, I got to, and it's still, I'm still feel like, you know, death worn over. I'm sweating like a pig and I'm like, what? But you know what? I know that there's somebody that came here this morning that needed to hear what I had to say. Not what I had to say, but what God has to say. So I want you to understand, you got to play through the pain sometimes. You got to understand that God is doing something in you, even in the bad. The Bible says over and over and over, over and over and over again, remember the goodness of God. Remember the goodness of God. Remember the goodness of God. Why? Because we forget it. We forget what he did for us yesterday. We live in a culture that says, what have you done for me today? People have been here at this church, some of you, for 15, 16 years, and you get mad. You can get mad one time and say, I'm done. I'm not going to be that because of that person. I'm finished. What have you done? They've done 15 years of incredible things, teamwork together. And one thing is like, it's all over. Friends, there's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with our actions and our attitudes. I'm getting fired up. I know I'm making this longer than I was supposed to. 3 and 4. Let's get to 3 and 4. Learn from the good and the bad experiences from others. Learn from others' pain and learn from others' victory. Tap into them. Get yourself into a network with other people. Life groups is the best thing that happens here at our church because you get people that are going through the same stuff as you, and you think most times if you're by yourself, I'm the only one going through this. We had our 55-plus group a couple weeks ago, and time after time, one of the people were saying, I can't believe they lost a son. I can't believe that happened to them. And you begin to see that you're not the only one that's hurting. Everybody is hurting. Everybody has pain. Everybody has some victories, too. But we tend to minimize the victories. We tend to make the victories kind of like just, you know, away because this is happening in my life and it's all encompassing and I can't do nothing else and I can't help anybody else and I can't reach out to anybody else because I gotta worry about me. That's a problem. I'll say this one word and then I'll move into the last one. Here's a warning about experiences, okay? Please understand that experiences don't make up everything, but please follow this. Experiences are helpful. God uses them in our life, but they're not infallible. Experiences can be misleading. Experiences can take you down a path you never want to go. That's why you have to rely on what you know, not on what you feel. Because what you feel changes every day. Every day it changes. I talked to so many of you. One week your life is going this direction, and the next week it's like, nope, going this way. What happened? It just is. That's where we're going. So we all, and we change a lot because of how we feel. Be very, very careful. You can be misled by your experiences. I was trying to think how to illustrate that to you. I could bring a magician up here and have them sit on the stage and have Charlie come up here and stand up. And if the magician was really good, he'd put a blanket over, and then there's a lion that appears, and Charlie's gone. And you go, well, my experience was that that magician made Charlie disappear. That's your experience. But reality is what? Charlie's probably in a trap door. There's something else going on. Because that can't happen. Reality, the reality is there. See, but that's what I want you to understand. And so you can feel one day, you can feel so warm and fuzzy about something, and the next minute, I hate my spouse. You can't go on feelings. You can't go on feelings. Did I say that? You can't go on feelings because they mislead you. Lastly, let me shut up. Oh, here's the standard. I got to give you the standard for your experiences. So, Jeff, how do I know if my experience is from God or not? If it matches up with God's word, then it's okay. If it doesn't, then it's not good. I want to be happy in my marriage, so I'm going to leave my wife. The Bible doesn't talk about happiness like that. But I want to be happy. Okay. It's got to match up with God's word. Till death do you part. But nobody does that anymore. I know. I understand. I get it. Lastly, let me shut up. Use your experiences to encourage, help other people. Use your experience to help other people. Because if you don't, you're wasting your pain. Let me say it to you as good as I can today. How can I say this? Well, let me do the scripture, and then I'll say it as good as I can. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says this. Encourage one another and help one another. How do we do that? We use our experience. We use the things that God has taken us through. If you're here and you're abused, you were abused growing up, whatever way you want to shape and form, you want to say it, you should be helping somebody that's abused. If you were here and you had a pregnancy and you terminated it, you need to be, today and you're a Christian, you need to know that's not right, but I'm going to help people. I'm going to help somebody else. If you're here today and your experience was that something horrible happened in your life, you need to be coming along somebody else and saying, here's how the Lord used this in my life. But you can't do that unless you let the Lord do that in your life. And so the word we're using here for this experience is ministry. Your victories and your pain show you what ministry you should be doing and how you should be ministering to somebody else. If you've lost somebody in your life, you ought to be the first person in somebody else's life when they have a loss. I don't know what to do. You know what? If you've lost somebody, you know what to do. Just go sit. Just go sit. Say, I love you. I don't got nothing for you, but I just want to sit here with you. I love you. See, it's not what you do. It's just that you go. You need a network of people that come alongside of you and help you do that. And that's why the church is so important. That's why we gather together. That's why we do life groups and youth groups and the hub and all the things that this church is a part of. We do those things because it draws people of a like precious faith together and sends them on a path of doing something else for others. And when you do that, that's called ministry. So I ask you this question. Who are you sharing your experience with? You know, we got a bunch of healthcare workers here, and they're getting bombed. They're getting bombed. Whether you think it's true or not, they're getting bombed. There's a lot of things going on. They need to get together, and they need to be able to come together and talk. Those of you that are unsure of things going around and you're going, I don't know, you need a network of people that you can come together, that you can experience life with. Some of you in here have experienced such deep, horrible pain in your life, and I can't address that, but I know God can. And He shaped us all differently. And the point is, you have something to offer because of your experience. You have something to offer. You need to offer it because it's your way of God saying, I'm going to take your shape and I'm going to use it for the kingdom of God. Church, you got to hear this. God expects you to use your hurts to minister to other people. He expects you to use experiences to encourage and to help other people who are going through it. Stop wasting the pain. Stop sitting there coddling yourself and staying by yourself and not telling anybody what's going on and just sitting there stewing in your juices, percolating on it when you shouldn't be percolating on it. God takes you through problems and he gives you comfort and he gives you help through it. God wants you to know it's called ministry, and ministry has got to happen. It's got to keep happening. It is not out of style. It is not wrong. You're going to get burnt when you help people. People are going to tell you, you know, you do it the wrong way and you're going to get your feelings hurt. I get it. But you have to put all that aside and you have to be a Jesus person and say, my faith is bigger than my feelings because I'm going to go on what I know, not on what I feel. For 6 weeks, we've looked at how God has made you. He's made you unique. Spiritual gifts, a passion, abilities, personality, and now experiences. As the band comes, I want you to know today that he wants you to take that shape and he wants you to use it for the kingdom of God. Last week we learned that we're unique. It means we're weird. And we take our weirdness and we use it for God. And if somebody laughs at it, that's their problem. It's not mine. Because it's using the victories and the pains of our life. Let's pray. Father God, I just pray right now that your Holy Spirit would move amongst us. I know there's some here today that the church doesn't mean anything to them at all. Their experience with the church is it's a place that's sterile, condemning. It's a place where people tell you what not to do. But God, your Holy Spirit's not like that. And I believe our church is not like that either, Father. I believe that we're a bunch of people who make mistakes daily, who mess it up on the regular. But God, you want to take our mistakes and you want us to take those and you want us to be able to say like Joseph, somebody meant it for harm, but God, he meant it for good. He meant it for good. So God, help us to take our uniqueness and to share. Help us to begin to care about other people, and God, not just our own selves, because God, we're so selfish most days. Most days we just look at ourselves. Let us get our eyes off of you, off of us. I'll get it. Let us get our eyes off of us and put them on you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We call this next minute or two our ministry time. And ministry doesn't happen. It's not something we do. It's what God does in us. So today I'd like you just to close your eyes. The band's gonna sing. And I want you to think about your shape, about your spiritual gifts, about your heart, about your abilities, about your personality, and lastly, about your experiences. Say, God, where do you want to use me this week? Not next month, this week. Because you can do it at your job. You don't have to just do it at church. My gosh, you better not just do it at church. See what God does in you in just the next few minutes. If you'd like to come and lay your burdens down, we call this our altar up here. You're welcome to do that. You're more than welcome. See what God does.
Dream, bending beneath the weight of
Thank you, guys. I think the sermon in a sentence is this: stop defining yourself as a victim and start defining yourself as a victor. You're a victor. You have a victory in Jesus. You have overcome. He has overcome the world. He has overcome the world, and he's overcome your stuff. You're no longer defined about what happened to you or what was done to you or what you did to somebody else. You're defined now by who lives inside of you. You're a victor. You're a victor. So glad you've been here today. We're going to do the news, but before we do that, Dave, would you come on up on stage real quick? Dave Baker. I'll just say it for anybody else here in just a minute that wants to come up here. Dave is going to, I'll just say it. Tanya had what we think is a heart attack this last week, and so this week they're going to find out exactly what, that's his wife, exactly what's going on. Linda, his mom, who comes to church and sits over here with these three, these two beautiful ladies, Linda has just been going through it, and she's in Otterbein and the rehab place and going through chemo, and they're trying to get this tumor that she has, and so just want you to really pray for Dave and for Tanya. Every week we try to, and there's so many people in our church that are, things are going on with. The thing last week, we prayed for Matt and the baby. The baby came out, and it wasn't anything like what they said. The lungs were, it's not even on oxygen. Can you believe that? And they thought they were going to have to do that, so it wasn't even on oxygen. They're going to have to do a heart procedure this week. Pretty serious operation, but the child is doing great. 3 pounds, 3 ounces in NICU up at Riley. So keep praying for them. So many things going on, and just hopefully, if you're part of our prayer chain, you will get those kinds of things. If you want to be part of the prayer chain, see Brandy, and maybe she can put you on that if you want to know, because there's just too much stuff to talk about today. But let's, if you'd like to come pray with Dave, you can do that. If there's any of you who want to come, I'll give you a second to do that, and then we're just going to go on and do that. Just come on up if you want to. If you don't, that's fine. Somebody start us off up there, and just don't worry about coming, but God knows, and we're going to pray. Father, we look at Dave, and we just see a man who loves you deeply and loves to worship and loves to lead others in worship, God. And we're thankful for that, that God, he's taken his passion and he's used it in a mighty way. Just now we thank you for Dave and for Tanya and for Linda. And we know that you put them together, and you know every part of their body, their physical body. You know every part of their mental body. You know everything that there is to know. So right now, we just ask for a miracle, God. We come shy of not being shy to ask for a miracle, God, because that's, we ask for the most. We ask that everything just comes out as it's supposed to. And God, we pray for Dave as he waits. The worst thing in the world is to wait to hear. There's so many of our people in our church right now, God, that are waiting. They're waiting on an answer from a doctor. They're waiting on an answer from somebody that, to tell them what's going on in their life, God. And so I just pray that you'll make us good waiters, God, that we can wait on you and trust you, because that's really ultimately what it's all about. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please keep them and all these folks in your prayers, and we'll try to keep you updated on that. There's no kidding, there's like 10 or 15 right now going on, and so just be praying for those folks. And let's watch the video. Thank you so much for being here today. We've got a Freedom Fest directors meeting in the back. If somebody would like to do some extra work, and you'd like to come back and say, I could volunteer for that, show back up there at the green room about 10 minutes.